And here we go, Digital Adele, back with another Digital Adele Hoops podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I am doing outstanding. I took a nap, which is never good for the show, but it is great for me. I feel fantastic.
It's like every episode.
I know. It just shows you how old I'm getting.
Well, but no, I think the point... It's trajectorying up. Like, the trajectory is up in terms of your performance after you take
nap. Oh, the quality! All right!
Yeah, like, we haven't really had any, like, bad mess-ups. Or maybe we haven't.
Maybe we have, and you just can't tell the difference. That's how bad the show is. But anyway. No, man, I appreciate that. Things are looking up. No, I feel great. I'm excited. The NBA has been amazing to start the season. It's been absolutely amazing. The rookies have been also equally amazing.
Oh,
it's almost historic. Like 1984, 2003 draft class, historic type numbers. And we're going to talk about one of those guys today.
Yep.
But also, the freaking NBA prospects for the 2026 class, they've had a bunch of exhibition games. They have looked outstanding. And everybody's talking about the amount of talent in that class, which we kind of knew 2025 and 2026 were going to be great classes. But, man, nobody could have predicted. Well, we kind of did. As we went through the tape, we were like, this 2025 class is really special.
Yeah.
You kind of predicted that. But the 2026 class, we had an idea, but those kids are also off to a rocket start. But I want to talk about something, Matt Hanifin.
In exhibitions, though, like...
In exhibitions.
I mean, I think they still kind of matter in the sense that, like, depending on some of these schools playing high profile programs, like if it's like, you know, a Big 12 team versus an SEC team something, like obviously what happens in the beginning will be different than what happens in March.
But a lot of the marquee players were playing like top 10 schools that are in the pre power ranking.
Right.
So like it's matters.
Not like they're playing like Mississippi State, State Tech.
Exactly. Like, they're not playing
Division
Nevada.
III, yeah.
What?
No disrespect to that.
I didn't say that. Is that crazy? That's crazy. I didn't say that. Anyway, no, I mean, it matters. Like, I don't actually watch those games, the exhibition games, because to your point, they're not going to be in my evaluation. Like, I'm not taking notes on what happened in an exhibition game and be like, got to keep that in the back of my mind.
It's a good first look at players if they're playing good programs.
It does. It's a good first look, and I just kind of really want to see... Is the moment too big for them? Are they overwhelmed by what's happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whenever they look at ease and they look comfortable, that is kind of more what I put in the back of my mind. Like, okay, this person, they are not rattled by the step up in competition. Because sometimes that happens. You know what I always say? Beware the seventh woods. I mean, literally, that is kind of what you're looking for. Is the moment too big? Does the athleticism that you thought was there not translate quite yet, you know, quite well? Unlike VJ Edgecombe, which we're going to talk about for the Philadelphia 76ers. But before that, Matt Hanifin, I was told, and I was, but it was bemoaned in the chat and in the videos when I was talking about Steph Curry as the potentially one of the best player, well, the best player in the league still at age 37. I was being crucified, man. I was taken out, thrown in a cave. Now, I'm not saying he's the best player in the league. It's been three games. But the only player, he's been outstanding. The only player that's had better stats than Steph Curry in terms of efficiency stats has been Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is the only one to compiled the amount of points, the amount of field goal attempts necessary to even be in really the conversation. Like, you could put Giannis in there because Giannis is going to shoot 71% from the field because all of his shots are around the basket. But I kind of ding him because he's going to shoot 24% from three. He's not going to shoot threes very well. So I kind of ding him for that, right?
He shot 4-6 from three through three games.
I know. Yes, Giannis is going to shoot 66% for the rest of the year. That is correct. This is his year. Although, to everybody else's point, Giannis is an excellent player. I'm not saying that. Like, he's also averaging 16 rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, some ungodly amount of numbers right now. 16
His
rebounds.
His usage has been crazy. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. is being out. He That's played it. 9 minutes, I think, in their first game.
I'm glad you touched on usage, because a lot of people overlook that.
There's kind of two sides to the coin where it's like, you know what's coming and you still can't stop it, and his just usage is just bonkers.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Absolutely. But I just want to point this out. Stephen Curry, 29 points per game right now.
Yeah, he's been
51%
awesome.
From the field, 45.5% from three on 11 attempts per game.
Yeah.
Like, that's some serious three-point volume. 100% from the free throw line on 5.5 attempts per game. Four rebounds, four assists, one steal. Well, almost two, 1.8. He's been unbelievable to start the season. Well,
why would Jimmy Butler bet Steph about, or bet Draymond about the free throw line? Did you see that?
No. What is, talk to me about this.
This was after the first game where Jimmy shot like, I don't know, it was like 11 of 11 or 12 of 12 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And Jimmy said, he was like, yeah, I bet Draymond that I'd have a better free throw percentage than Steph. And then they asked Steph, and Steph's like, he's like, I'm not aware of this at all. And that's they're funny. Like, does Jimmy have a chance? And Steph's like, no shot. No chance. And Jimmy's
what is
already
Steph like a 90.
I don't know what his percentage is at now. Yeah. Obviously he got off to a good start in that first game. It hasn't.
Right.
And like, yeah, it was never going to. Jimmy, Steph is like a perennial, like what, 93% free throw shooter? 94?
That's exactly like, what I crazy. Wanted to look at. Like, what is his career percentage? I need to look that up real
yeah,
quick.
He bet Draymond and Jimmy's like, yeah, I think I, you know how Jimmy is. He's like, yeah, I think I got a chance. And then they asked Steph, and Steph's like, no shot, dude. Like,
no, let's look it up. Steph Curry stats. And we're going to go to our favorite site, which is Pro Basketball Reference or Basketball Reference. And Steph Curry, for his career, is a 91% free throw shooter. Now, that's for his career. Early in his career, he had a couple of 89s, which is really bad.
Yeah, a couple 89s, yeah.
Now, but let me read off to you, like, the past, I don't know, 10 years. So this year, so far, which is not going to hold, he hasn't missed a free throw. He's 100% on the year. Last year, 93%. The year before, 92%. The year before that, 91. The year after that, 92. 91. He played five games during something where he got injured, but he shot.
Yeah, that was the 1920 season. That was the year from Heck.
Yes.
From Golden State. He also shot 100%
in those games, though.
Yeah. The year after they got Wiseman in that one. That was that.
Wiseman, is he like the biggest, one of the biggest busts in NBA history? Him and Bagley, right? And Bagley's better.
In recent memory.
He's really bad. He's up there with Anthony Bennett.
I don't think anyone's as bad as Anthony Bennett.
I mean, they drafted a center that was out of shape and had asthma. That's bad.
Well, no, I'm saying Anthony Bennett's is, I think, worse.
No, I agree with you. That's what I was saying. I was like, I think you're right. He was an out of shape center that had. Now he was explosive. Like, you go back and look at his college tape, he actually was explosive, but he was also out of shape and had asthma. So that's gonna deduct some points, I would say. But anyway. Let's talk about what the people came here to talk about. I'm not here to gloat. I don't need your praise and adulation, although it's welcome.
I mean, I remember specifically saying on this podcast last time that I would take Wemby over Steph.
And I did remember.
Wemby has been bonkers.
Wemby's been out. Well, see, here's the
Both
thing.
Both players have been bonkers in their own ways, but Wemby's an
alien. For sure. And I think Wemby has a chance to rival the effect on the league that Wilt Chamberlain did in this way. He is so freakishly tall and agile that you cannot account for what he does. Like, if Wemby really applied himself to rebounding and being around the basket as well, he could average 20 plus points, 20 plus rebounds, and maybe 5 blocks a game.
I mean,
or more.
20 plus points. He's been doing that his whole career. I'm like, put a 3 in front of that.
Well, maybe a 30-20 game. Maybe he could average 30 and 20. He has that potential. There's no ceiling on that. Sorry, Bam. There is no ceiling on that. Like, he could literally change the game in terms of like what you expect for someone. Now, he also has to stay healthy, which the Spurs allegedly were also concerned about, like the longevity of his career. But right now, yeah, he's doing bananas thing.
Anyway, yeah, let's talk about what we're here to talk about.
Oh, we're here to talk about rookies only. That's right. We veered off topic. Well, I did. But you know what, Matt? I've actually think we need to do a little bit more of that to begin each show. Just a little bit of general NBA stuff and then jump into the college stuff or whatever is a hot topic at the
moment. I mean, one of the rookies that we're talking about today is a hot topic.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that because his partner in crime, Tyrese Maxey, is leading the league in scoring. And this other person we're talking about is VJ Edgecombe, who in his own right is leading the rookies in scoring. He's been absolutely sensational. 25 points per game, 50% from the field, 40% from three, 75% from the free throw line, 5.7 rebounds, 6 assists. Absolutely absurd. What are your thoughts on VJ Edgecombe to start the season?
He's been nuts, dude. Like, if you go back in like the Boston game, for example, he kind of willed them late to that win. I don't remember how many points he had in that game, but he was unbelievable. And then last night I watched that whole Magic Sixers game, and obviously Max, he's 43 points. You know, he was exceptional in his own right. But VJ had 26, 4-7 with the steal. He blocked Paolo Banchero from behind in transition.
Yeah. Paolo went up kind of weak with that too, though. Like,
he did. He's got a dunk. It was still kind of, it was still like a really good play.
It's impressive. Yes. It is impressive. Yeah. Yes.
And he's also just not doing stuff that he did at Baylor. Like, he's doing like the dribble, like he's doing like the pullback, step back dribbles. He looks so comfortable with the ball in his hands.
Super confident. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, I kind of not expected this, but like, I was wondering if this would be the progression, you know, after one, maybe 2 years, not three games.
Right. He's been doing it from day one.
Yeah. Like, he's been unbelievable in these games. And like, I know them playing with three guards with Maxey, with him.
Wait till McCain comes back.
Right.
Jeez.
But even then, like, they're smaller lineups. Like, he's kind of like, the matchups for him defensively aren't the best just for right now. Like, he's still got to, like, they sometimes, like last night, for example, in the Magic game, he was up against either, it was like Paolo or Franz.
Oh, yeah,
just
they were burying him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, I know you're not going to win this specific matchup one-on-one. Like, you're just not strong enough yet, and I don't know if he'll ever be strong enough to at least handle those two guys, and those two guys are two of the better creators that we have in the entire league, and so I'm not expecting him to be like that day one. But even then, like, he's still been, I think, solid defensively, all things considered.
Definitely.
And it doesn't matter with what he's doing offensively with his pull-up jump shooting, his finishing around the rim. Like, that was a big thing coming out of Baylor, was like, okay, he's super athletic, but the around the rim numbers aren't good, or at least not where you expect it to be given how athletic he is. And like, that just hasn't been a problem through three games.
No,
it just hasn't.
It hasn't. You know, one of the things that occurred to me the other day, cause I was on Twitter, which, you know, it's sketchy these days, but I found some cool people, you know, to talk basketball on there. And I saw some guy talking about how the body control was something beautiful to see.
Oh, dude.
When we scouted him at Baylor in that first couple of months of the season, that was what we talked about was, he doesn't know how to harness this insane athleticism that he has. He doesn't really know how to when to go slow and when to go fast. He only went fast or didn't change speeds, and he didn't have the great body control. The evolution of that, like, as the season progressed and then how well it is now, is unbelievable. Like, he had a nice little Euro step in between two defenders and a nice soft floater in that game yesterday against the Magic. I mean, the other one where he's sprinting full speed, takes off a 2 feet, and instead of going through the defender, he like turns sideways and gets skinny like a running back in the hole and then finishes with his left.
Avoided the charge.
Just floating to avoid the charge. Yeah, it was unbelievable. VJ Edgecombe has surpassed even my high expectations for him. Now, that being said, people are being really hard on themselves saying, like, I can't believe I had VJ Edge.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Come fourth on my big board. Guys, I mean, we got to let this thing play out a little bit. Right. This class is supremely talented. VJ Edgecombe is supremely talented, but also so is Trey Johnson, so is Cooper Flagg, so is Dylan Harper. Like, there's some outs. Con Knipple.
Con's been off to a great start too. Like,
he's outstanding.
He's shooting nearly 60% from three on six and a half attempts. Like, he's
He has been outstanding. Con Knipple, and the thing about Con, and I know this isn't Charlotte Hornets rookies only, but he gets to every loose ball.
Yeah,
I mean, he gets you so many extra possessions. It's unbelievable. But anyway, back to VJ Edgecombe. The biggest takeaway from VJ's game is that he knows where the passes need to go. The fact that he's averaging 6 assists so quickly in the season, that's the biggest surprise for me. I knew he was a good fit into the offense type player. I didn't know he was going to be this good of a facilitator right off the bat. I really like that. That jumps off the page. Now, again, it's only 3 games. Let's just have fun, enjoy it, but it's only 3 games. Do you have anything else on VJ Edgecombe before we transition to our next prospect?
I mean, even there's even times when Maxie's on the floor with them and he's just running offense, or All right, I'll let you handle it this possession. Like, you know, obviously what you're doing, and like, he's making, yeah, to your point, he's making the right reads.
They all trust, even when he's on the floor with Embiid. Like, Embiid's been deferring to Maxie and VJ.
Yeah. The thing that I love about VJ is like, he's just a quiet killer.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he's not someone who's going to be like incredibly fired up or whatever, like, you know, right, have that crazy emotion, but like, you can tell he's competitive as hell.
And he doesn't back down from anything or anybody. No. Man, does not back down.
He floats on a basketball court. He's a gazelle, as I like to call him. Like,
he literally floats on a basketball court. Absolutely. So for Philadelphia, that was their only pick, right? Was VJ Edgecombe. So we're going to transition over to the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns, they got their big man in the middle, Kamon Mihailovic, we kind of said this in our evaluation in college. It's going to take a while. There's a lot of tools there. He's long. He's got great hands. He's got a great motor, but he's raw. Like, his footwork's going to need some time. His decision-making in terms of passing is going to need a little bit of time. He's going to be able to rebound. He's going to be able to play some defense, but it's not going to be this overwhelming dominant force. And so he really hasn't played a ton of minutes in Phoenix. What are your thoughts on Kamon Mihailovic's start? He's only played 2 games and only 8.5 minutes in those 2 games.
I mean, like, this is kind of the same thing I have for every rookie outside of, not every Suns rookie, I mean, outside of Kobe, who hasn't played a single minute yet.
Where'd he go to school?
Kentucky.
Kobe Sanders?
No, Kobe Bray.
Oh, Kobe. Oh, Bray. Oh, where did Kobe Sanders land? He's
Clippers.
Oh, he's the Clipper. That's, I knew he was out west. I couldn't remember which team.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was trying to get the sound effect in there.
Kobe Bray hasn't played a minute yet.
That's right.
And again, it wasn't necessarily.
There's also a glut of guards.
Yeah. The thing with Phoenix and how they're operating right now, at least through this early portion of the season, is they're kind of playing Malawach and Rashir in garbage time. And so it's
pretty much.
I'm not really getting like a pure evaluation. And I understand kind of why that's the case right now.
Right.
I think they think that they're trying to at least be somewhat competitive. And I think once they ultimately realize that won't be the case, and they start shutting guys down, once they start shutting guys down and whatnot, you'll see more of Malawach, you'll see more of Rashir Fleming. And so it's like, I really can't get like a firm eval.
Because what do you think the problem is over the last several years with Phoenix? Because they've had talent.
It's been too top heavy and they don't have enough depth. And
not enough
depth.
They
completely flipped their roster this offseason. Like they traded Kevin Durant. They obviously got the Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks package. Malawach came with that because it was number 10 overall pick.
Why would they? Dylan Brooks. They couldn't do anything better than that.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh my gosh.
They got rid of Bradley Beal. They bought him out. He's going to be on their books for a minute because of they waived and stretched him, or they waived and stretched his buyout rather. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they kind of flipped this roster, and I think they did a good job in the sense that like they got out of the tax. They got out of, I believe, both aprons, maybe just one of them. They got out of the second apron, I think, for sure.
Right.
But they're not good right now.
They're not.
So it's like that's with Devin after you gave him an extension. That's a problem in and of itself. But like, yeah, they've had talent. It's just been super top heavy without much depth. Obviously, when your third star is Bradley Beal and he has a no trade clause that exceeds $50 million, like that's another issue. That's a sub issue within the issue. Like it's just a culmination of problems. And now it's going to take a while for them to really dig out of that.
For sure.
And so it's like, again, I don't think they're going to be at all competitive. I have them being one of the worst teams in the West this year. And so, because I just don't think their roster's that good. And like, I personally just don't want to see much of Nick Richards or Mark Williams. I mean, Mark Williams maybe, but I really don't want to see much of Nick Richards as opposed to come on Malawach. I want to see
1000%
Malawach get reps. And I think that'll ultimately come. And it's kind of the same thing with Rashir, even though he has, you know, a higher hill to climb. I don't know.
Royce O'Neal is like 5,000 years old, man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I really don't want to see much of him. Like obviously done. Okay. Iguodaro, who I've liked. Okay.
But was there a bigger fraud in the first month of the season than Ryan Dunn shooting the basketball? He had us all fooled. We were all tricked.
It wasn't even like the first month of the season. It was like six games.
It was either way, we were tricked.
And I'm saying that as someone who was fooled.
You were definitely fooled. We both were fooled. How? Fraud! But anyway, my point is, Fleming needs to get some reps. You need to see what you got in these kids, because like you said, they're going nowhere fast, especially in the West.
Yeah. And Fleming was hurt. Like he's been battling an injury, I think, much of the offseasons. Yeah. So like I want to say he missed at least part of summer league, maybe not all of it.
Yeah.
I'm with a knee injury. And I think he missed part of the season as well. Maybe I'm
right.
Misremembering. Anyway.
Hold on.
Or at least part of preseason, rather.
I was meaning to look this up. I haven't looked it up yet, but I'm going to. I was trying to look it up real quick. I don't know if I can do that. Maybe I should leverage the power of AI, see if it'll do it for me. But I want to go back and see the first game of like the top 10 picks of the 1984 draft class, to see how their first games went compared to this draft class. Because it's just, to me, I feel like this draft class is right there with them in terms of their debuts. Does that make sense? Or am I?
Yeah.
Am I going crazy here?
All here, right. I could pull it. I almost have it pulled up for you right now.
Do it! Matt Hanifin, the wizard.
Oh, hold
not
on.
Not Trey Johnson. Which basketball they're doing funky stuff with Trey Johnson, which is getting on my nerves. I don't know if you how much Wizards basketball you've watched.
I've watched a little.
Playing Cam Whitmore in the initiator position and having Trey Johnson stand in the corners or come off an elevator screen where Whitmore will ignore him and just chuck up a shot. It's been really annoying to me. But anyway, I digress.
Basketball Reference is not being nice to me right now.
That's all right. We can always come back to this later. It can be content for another time. We've ran long. We have to be on playback in a half hour. So we can leave it there, and we'll come back to it another time. How's that?
And we get to watch Con Knipple.
Bro, I am stoked. Con Knipple is one of my favorite basketball players to watch play. He always makes the right play. Right or wrong, not right or wrong, whether he makes the shot or misses a shot, whether he makes the defensive stop or misses, you know, gets beat, he will be in the right position. It'll be the right play every time.
Fortunately enough for you, you get to also watch him with LaMelo Ball.
Fortunately? Why do you got to troll me like that, Matt Hanifin? You know what? I called him, again, one of the most unserious basketball players I've ever seen after his one-footed step back to win the game, airball, like from like 35 feet away. Then I see on Twitter is these people don't watch LaMelo Ball. He's been fantastic. What about all the stuff before that shot? That same game, he threw like three or four passes where he left his feet, jumped in the air, threw it right to the other team. I'm like, what are you guys watching? Like, yeah, he accumulates stats, but he doesn't win because he does crap like that all the time. If he cleans it up and starts playing serious one day, I'll take the label off. But until then, the label stays.
We also get to watch Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's gotten some run.
He's actually been surprisingly active in the rookie class more than a lot of the other rookies.
Well, and like he's not racking up a ton of stats. Like I know he had like I want to say it was like a 10-point, 11 rebound double double, but like since then he hasn't accumulated a ton of stats. But like,
it's just been the minutes he's playing like starter minutes. That's the thing.
It's just very funny watching him try again. Like I say, this is someone who's talked about this for a while. Funny watching him move up and down a basketball court. Like he gets gassed, dude. He gets gassed real quick.
He doesn't run, Matt. You keep getting that wrong. He speed walks around the court.
You're right.
He's a speed walker.
It's the speed walking, but that's right. Again, it's not very quick.
No.
After a few NBA possessions. A few minutes.
He's the old
there.
Guy you see speed walking around your neighborhood to get exercise.
Yeah. No, yeah. I called it the 55-year-old at 6 a.m.
Got a headband morning, on.
Trying to get their speed walking before work. Yeah.
High white socks up to their shins.
Yeah.
That's right. What is it? Wearing some New Balance? Oh, man.
Yeah. Skechers.
Skechers. There you go. Very comfortable. It's really funny to watch, like, look at his stats. He's attempted 0 free throws as a 7-foot big man in 3 games. 0.
It's all dunks, dude.
Right?
Or at least it feels like all dunks.
Maybe 7.7 rebounds per game, though. That's pretty good. But anyway, yeah, it is funny. I can't wait to watch this Heat game. The Miami Heat have been rolling that offense. No Norm Powell. Right? Is he playing? Not playing?
Let me look.
I don't think he's playing. If he's not playing, I'm concerned. I will be.
Yeah, he's not playing.
That's not good. It might. And also, people, please. I don't know what your religious beliefs are. Whatever you pray to, pray for the people of Jamaica. That hurricane is a monster. It is one of the largest hurricanes in recorded history. Like 200 mile an hour winds and crap.
Wow.
So it is, yeah, just pray for the people of Jamaica, please. And also, pray that it doesn't come to Florida. I don't want to deal with that. Anyway, leaving on a selfish note, I'm Digital Adele. That's Matt Hanifin. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow, and get more information.
You can find me at NPH underscore 824 underscore on Twitter. You can find me at hotonhoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as Orlando Magic on SI. You can find me at playback.tv/5RSN, where we will be watching the Miami Heat in the matter of moments, and playback.tv/digitaladelehoops.
Oh, that's right here.
Yeah.
Where we are right now. You can find me, Digital Adele, anywhere on social media under the same moniker. On Instagram, there's an underscore, so digital underscore Adele. But everywhere else, it's just Digital Adele on Twitter. The podcast is Digital Adele Hoops. Please support us, guys. We put a lot of work and effort into this, even though it may not seem like it. So download the podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever. Wherever you get your podcast, it'll be there. But yeah, we really appreciate everybody that watches the show, listens to the show, all the lurkers who aren't subscribed, because 60% of you who watch on YouTube aren't subscribed. I appreciate you. Hit a like button, subscribe. It's fun and it's free. But we'll see you next time. See you, Matt.